You are good. Nice to see you again. Let's start from a bit higher. Okay. Are we there, all of us? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18. But we'll begin reading from, let's see verse 15 what it says, and then we can go. So let's go a bit higher to get a bit of context. Same term. Let's try the term. Okay. Paul is talking about, he's having a comparison in that chapter. He's bringing up a comparison of the old covenant. Again, I say covenant, not testament. Alright, I want to be key. don't mean anything, all right? So one word is, does not mean anything unless it's a synonym of something, all right? So there's a difference between a testament and a what? What? Covenant, all right? Because most teachers have taught you that the New Testament is the New Covenant and the Old Testament is the Old Covenant, which is not absolutely correct. It's not perfectly correct. We find a bigger chunk of the Old Covenant documented in the Old Testament. All right? While a bigger chunk of the New Covenant is documented in the what? New Testament. All right? Basically, the New Testament, the New Covenant, begins after the Gospels. Okay? Alright? Because that's when the covenant was signed, sealed, and delivered, when Jesus Christ died and resurrected. So, the documentation of the life of Christ is still part of a dispensation of the Old Covenant. Alright? There are passages of Scripture in the Old Testament that show glimpses of people who experienced new covenant realities together. So in this chapter, Paul is having a comparison as he's teaching, as he's writing to the church in Corinth. He's explaining to them and bringing a comparison of what they have been born into vis-a-vis what they had been born into, what their fathers had been born into. Are we together? Which is the Old Covenant, which their fathers lived in and practiced, while they have been purchased by the blood that was the signatory of the New Covenant. Amen. So, all right. Are we together? Are we together? So, in this chapter, you will read it at your own time. Paul is giving a comparison. He is detailing. He's telling them of how much better they are, of how advantageous they are because of the covenant they have been born into. And that is the same covenant that you and I are part of. The covenant of the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of who? Of who? Of who? Christ. All right? Let's read.
For even what was made through death had no glory in this death because of the glory that they fell. For if what passing away was from death, what she made be much more glory. Therefore,
alright, someone with an actual Bible. An actual Bible, please read it for us. So, next week, find your Bible, dust it, and come with it. Okay? Alright? Your physical what? Your physical what? Alright? And I'll throw people out. Who don't have Bible then? And if you come here more than thrive, you've already given your authority. The rest are visitors. I'm in them to us, yeah? Alright? So, next week we'll bring what? Actual Bibles, actual notebooks. Right? Okay. You may come up. Alright,
therefore, since we have such hope, we use great
boldness
of speech.
Go back a bit. Like 11.
For what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious.
Okay, so it's a comparison, okay? The New Covenant and the Old Covenant. So when he says what is passing away, he's talking about what? He's talking about what? He's talking about what? I need you to be confident you are bright enough to follow a story. I need you to be confident. He's talking about, when he says what is passing away, he's talking about what? Louder? Okay, Let's go.
Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who was afraid of what he said, so that the children of Israel could not look speedily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same faith remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the faith is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies in their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Okay, so he says that it's not that they couldn't understand what you are supposed to understand in the new covenant. It is that they were what? They were what? The word is not veiled, the word is blinded. They were blind, meaning that the action for them not to have revelation was intentional. It was not by accident that they could not understand the new covenant. As if to say, even at their time, there was a possibility of them to understand and live in new covenant reality. But they were what? They were blinded. And then it goes further to say, if the blindness or the blinding goes on until today, that those who have not turned to Christ are still blinded when they read the scriptures. Amen.
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 Amen. They are still what? Blinded. They are still blinded. Meaning that we are in a dispensation of the new covenant where you're supposed to live and orchestrate new covenant realities, but you can be a partaker of the old dispensation of that which has passed away, though that which is forever is with you. Because you are what? You are what? You are what?
Blinded.
The blinding is intentional. It is not by accident that one believer has greater and deeper understanding of the mysteries and the scriptures and the revelations of God, yet another one does not have. It is intentional, because one has turned to God, and in the turning to God, then the veil that blinds is what? Is what? Is lifted. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You get it? You get it?
Yes.
You get it? You will get it at some point, and then you begin to shout and sing in your bedroom. I'm not saying you're not getting it. I know your mind is trying to figure out. But at the time of the fullness, where understanding comes to you, now you will understand what it is, what it means to turn to God. Because every time, every day, you are supposed to be constantly doing what?
Turning.
Every day, every day, every day is an opportunity. Every day you sit down with the Spirit of God is an opportunity for blindness to be lifted off your eyes. Amen.
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 Amen. Are we together?
Yes.
So, the biggest prayer that you should have. I don't want to miss my heart, I'm off the biggest prayer. So there are many big prayers, okay? So the biggest prayer that you should have is that this blindness be lifted off my eyes. Continue.
Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory,
okay, let's go there slowly. Let me unpack certain things. Uh-huh.
Now the Lord is the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Okay. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit is, there is what? There is what?
Yeah.
Meaning there is freedom.
there is opportunity for you to understand, for you to walk in openness. What? Are we getting? Are we getting? That God, you remember the scripture, it is the glory of God to hide a matter, but the word of what? The word of? The word of kings. But it is the honor, whatever, the honor of kings. The honor of kings to it is. That's a better one. So where the Spirit comes, there is liberty, there is freedom for you. There is freedom for you. There is freedom. So Christ dies, alright? And when Christ dies, what happens? When he's dying, what happens? There's an earthquake, there's darkness, right? And then something happens at the temple. What happens at the temple? The curtain, the veil is torn. The veil is torn. The veil that separated the presence of God, literally, from the people. I want you to understand that people would go to church and not experience the presence of God. They would be given a report of what the presence of God looks like, sounds like, and this is the instruction that comes from the presence of God. Alright? And now Christ dies, and scripture says it is not the veil that was torn, the veil, his flesh is the veil. So he had to be crucified so that he could be ripped apart, so that we could have access to him, because his flesh was the veil. So the liberty comes in, because now the flesh that restricted the flow of the Spirit, and that's why he says it is better that I go, because if he remains, then he constricts the Spirit from giving you liberty, so that you have to go to Jerusalem to find Jesus so that you can access. So he dies and goes so that the Spirit can come and you can have access wherever you are, because Jesus the man could not give you access unless you were with him physically. Get it?
Yes.
You get it? Mm-hmm. So he goes, and now comes liberty. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The purpose of the Spirit of God is so that you can have continuous access into this glory, into this reality that is provided to you by turning to God and confessing and being part of the new covenant. Of the new covenant. Amen. Amen. Let's go. The next one. Right, this is where you are.
Aren't we all the
Okay, so these guys are blinded because there is a veil. So Moses came down from the glory of God, and they could not look at his face because the glory of God was too much that they were afraid. You know what they were afraid of? Do you know? Take a guess. What they were afraid of? Huh? Dying. They were afraid of doing what? They were afraid of doing what? And at that point, the mysteries of God are hidden, because if they were not afraid of death, then they would conquer. They would conquer death. And the
your need, because I...
Intentionality to blind them. But now that intention
intentionality has been lifted, and the intention of God is that you walk in liberty. Not liberty to do everything, but liberty to see the end. Because the end has already done what? Happened. The end has already come. So you are an aftermath of the end. You have already seen. The new covenant that you live in allows you to see the end. And when you see the end, then faith is built in you and death disappears. Alright? Alright? I've told you time and again that what kills you is not death, it's time. T-I-M-E. Time. Time. How old are you? How old are you? 19. How do you feel now that you're 19? Vis-a-vis when you were 15? It's the same. Who told you you were 19? What do you expect when you get to your mom?
Nice.
What do you expect when you get to 25, 30? But why? It's what's right here. Past that becomes a rare item, right? So you see, that kind of mentality is what now attracts that which has been defeated already. So you know by 40, by 45, I should not be able to be having children. And then at 45, because you know you are 45, then your eggs dry up. Alright? You know at 90, it is time. It is time. Has your grandmother called you home? Like a major familia? Okay, now because I'm a field, come and leave it. It is time. So, I'm a deep banger. Let's just pray for another thing. We talk about time. Let's see. Time. T-I-M-E. So let's read that scripture again, number 18.
Have we all been unveiled faith?
So now the Spirit has come and the veil has been lifted off. So we all with unveiled faces. We all with unveiled faces. There is no blinding. There is nothing that inhibits us from doing what? Seeing. From seeing. What do we do? Okay. Let not the English confuse you here. We with unveiled faces beholding. Okay? Be what? Beholding. How are you beholding? You have here.
Very much.
Beholding. So we with unveiled faces beholding. As in a mirror. So your faith, the veil has been lifted off, right? And now you are looking, the image there means you are beholding. You are looking at something as though, as the way you look into a mirror. So you are not looking into a mirror. You are looking at something. In the same manner, you look at a okay, that is a mirror, that's a mirror. Look into it. Look into it. Okay? Right? What do you see? You see what? What do you see? Yourself, right? With number 15 other people. Okay? So we unveil faces, beholding as in a mirror, a Harry. As in a, so what are we beholding? What are we beholding? What are we beholding? What are we beholding? Like what? The same way we look into a mirror, we are looking in, we are looking at the glory of God. We are gazing, we are looking upon. Beholding is not to, it's not to look and look away. It is to completely stare.
It is completely to look at. It's the holy act. If you have found someone new, please refrain from beholding. You might see certain things that you need to see that year. Okay? So as your, what am I trying to say? When you behold, you see the features, you see the nitty-gritties, you see the detail of what you are looking at. You are beholding. We beholding as in a mirror, and we're not just beholding, we are beholding with unveiled faces, meaning that our eyes are able to see completely that which we are looking at. All right, read it again, read it.
But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image.
Okay, so we with unveiled faces, we are beholding, like in like manner as we look into mirrors. In just the same way you look into a mirror, just the same way you look into a mirror, you are looking at the glory of God. And what is happening is that you are being transformed. You are being transfigured into what? Into what? What is the image? What is the image? What is the image? No, don't be afraid to be wrong. What is the image? The glory of God. It is like in a mirror. So when you look at the mirror, I see an image. And the image I'm looking at, he's saying in Swahili, kama vile unainangua kioo kioni. That is the same way. You are looking at the glory of God. And you're not just looking at the glory of God like in a mirror. You're being transformed into the same image. So the way the glory of God looks like, when you behold it with unveiled faces, you are changed, you are transformed, you are transfigured to look like the glory of God. The glory of God. Are you getting me? You are being changed, you are being transformed to look like that which you are looking at, that which you are beholding, that which your eyes have been cast upon, that which you have stared for a while, that which you have spent time to see, and you just see, and as you see it, you are being transformed to look like it. The difference between this and a mirror is that you use a mirror to correct mistakes on your face. It's not even different. You use a mirror to correct what? Mistakes on your face. So even when you behold the glory, that which you see in the glory is used to correct mistakes on the one who is looking. But the key thing is, you are looking now with unveiled faces. Unveiled faces. Veils being lifted up, and not just veils being lifted up, you are looking at with the aid of the Spirit of God. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we unveiled faces, are beholding like in a mirror, and we are seeing and we are being transformed. We are being changed into the same image. The identity of a Christian, the identity of a believer is what? If you've been following me, the identity of a believer is what? The glory of God. So that when people look at you, you have beheld the glory enough to be transformed. So you have looked at the glory, and now you are being transfigured into the same image. Into the same image. Think about it. I encourage you to think. I implore you to think. I encourage you to think.
Thinking is your best friend.
Thinking is your best friend. All right? So this is the thing. This is the thing. And this is the point of this man. That if you don't learn intentionally, you will do what? You will do what? I don't know. I don't like the most. You sound like you don't know what I'm talking about. If you do not learn, if you don't take time to learn intentionally, you will do what? You will still learn. You will still learn. You will still learn. If you do not take time to behold the glory of God, you will still be doing what? Behold something. The principle in this scripture is that whatever it is you behold, you will be transfigured into that image. So today, accidentally, I saw someone on YouTube. Then I clicked on their video. Then I had them. I was interested, and then YouTube does its thing absolutely well. Gave me another video of her, and I had her, and I was like, okay, this is nonsense. So I went to her Instagram page, and I saw some of you follow her. I saw not someone, just one person. We are a quarter. Okay. Na hope isn't zile followers at the time, not zile followers that you will let us suggest to be joining my click. Because what we are doing by listening to trash is what? Be holy. You are beholding, and it comes to a point you do not know how to sift between what is truth, what is feelings, because nowadays feelings are presented as truth. Whatever I feel, it is called my truth. This is my truth. And with that, because I know we spend less time beholding on that which we are supposed to be transformed into, unlike beholding that which is just. And it's interesting, but what you are doing is you are beholding, you are conditioning your subconscious to always know that it can't work. And it doesn't matter how long we speak here, if you don't take the time to behold up, to behold on the glory of God, that which you behold on, it will cut up in you. It will cut up in you. One of the worst things I have heard, I've even seen it at some point, I thought it was right, but it was one of the worst best nonsense I have ever had. Is the quote that a broken relationship than what? And a broken marriage.
in context, it is telling you to
date, just date. If it doesn't work out, it is better that it didn't work out than you enter into marriage and then it doesn't work. So you date, you are 19 but you had 50 boyfriends. You are 21 and you've been in three, four, five relationships at 21. Good for you. You move on quickly. You think it's the pattern of life, but what you're doing is you're doing what? You're beholding. Because you are now training yourself that if a relationship doesn't work, what do? You skip. It doesn't work, you do what? It doesn't work, you do what? And then you meet soulmates. You meet what?
Soulmates.
And you come and we join you. But the training you have is, if it doesn't work, you do what? If it doesn't work, you do what? In 3 years' time, you're telling us who I want to find this. Because you are beholding. You are dating. How can you be 19 and even have 5, 2, 3 boyfriends already? Like you have exes. You have exes and they are trauma. You know me, I have trauma. A 19-year-old having the trauma of a 45-year-old married woman. Trauma. You're doing what? You're beholding without knowing. And you are being transformed to whatever animal you are beholding. Because we spend less time. And even the time we spend beholding on the word of God, we do not intentionally do it. So we don't know what we're doing. We're just reading, because it is read your Bible every day, read your Bible, pray every day, and you will do what? You will grow. But it's not happening, it ain't happening. They have no way to grow. You are a retard. Because you will eat it and not grow it. Transfiguration is not in the classification of miracles. It's a very important thing. Transfiguration is not in the same category as what? A miracle. And let me explain what I mean. Because in essence, transfiguration is a miracle. It's the miracle of the cross. It's a miracle of the death and the resurrection of Christ. Transfiguration cannot be imparted. You know what impartation is? Do you know what impartation is? Huh? Is that yes or no? Should I explain what impartation is? Huh? Yes? Yes. To impart is to do what? That? It's to transfer what I have to you. Without you having the stress of learning how to get that which I do what? I have. I have a sermon on impartation and imitation. Please go find it. And then it will explain further what impartation is. I can't be transformed and pray for you to be what? I can't. I can't because I have managed to be transformed. I can't lay hands on you. And after I lay hands on you, you have been what?
Transformed.
It is not subject to impartation. We and you guys, your generation is not big on impartation because your generation has grown up with don't be offended, alright? Sour. Don't be offended. Your generation has grown up with of no church, Nairobi Chapel, TQCU, KUCU. You have grown up with sermons of leadership and encouragements from Joel Osteen and Stephen Fati. Like they explain to you and dance videos and rap sermons from Mike Todd. So you have no idea of what impartation really means. Because you guys are bougie. You're bougie Christians, you know? Us is to sit down and be told about family. You know, Jesus loved family. And because of family, that is why we are here. And then we're taught about leadership, alright? So a leader does these 10 things. If you do not have 10 points to become what? A leader. And I'm not saying those things are not are bad. I'm just saying that they cannot describe what impartation is, because impartation is not taught in that light. Impartation. You need to go for mission in Uko Chakwe Uko conference. Conference in a hotel, Bodo Mbaya. And then people come for impartation. People run to hold the feet of the minister. Hadi anashikiwa na wase fufini asianguke. Because what of ekujia nini? Impartation. They have seen something in this man of God. They have seen blind eyes open. They have seen miracles. And they want that thing that is in. So they come. And people come. What on a rarwa God? What on a kuja on a kodia? Five years down the line, they wear that tie. You get back the next year for the concert, that tie is faded. The man is still the same. He cannot be transformed because transformation is a matter of beholding. It's a matter of you see the worship we've had today. It was a struggle. Easy the worship ya kameshika kanaenda kaenda kumbeko mikono mbia mse wa damza na chapa hizo drum mpaka mnasikia mse wa beza na vuke kufuru kameshika. Hii ni ile worship yenye una struggle, unakaa, unamaliza, unafungua macho, unaangalia watu, unapiga magoti nini, because it is not just worship, it is called waiting. Where you sit down to look, you sit down to stay, you sit down, you have nothing to worship, but there is a beckoning, there is a pushing in you to begin to behold. When you begin to behold, you will wake up at 1 a.m. in the night, not to pray, not to read, but just to gaze. Umekaa tu hivi. Singizi imeisha. Maombi ni gumu. But you just behold your mind, you're having pictures. You're having pictures of who God is. You're having pictures. How God begins to speak to you is when you have quiet down. You have silenced everything so that your focus can be on what He has said, what He has promised, who He is, what does it mean? What does it mean? When Sifa was teaching, what does it mean? What does it mean? God, I want to see this glory. I want to look like in a mirror. not seeing visions. Visions are easy to see. Visions are easy to see. Some of you dream daily. If you have a book, you have 3-15 books of your dreams written down. Some dreams are complicated, they come from here to next week and back. That's not beholding. Beholding is just being quiet. Meditation. Full meditation. Intention. Knowing that this which I am spending time to meditate upon will do what? Transform me. Do what? Transform me. This which I'm teaching you this month. Open the last page. Not the last page, the last page. Where is it? This. Read to them what you're doing.
Where I was teaching yesterday,
One of the things I say is that one of the biggest tools for transformation is what? Is what? Is prayer. Prayer is one of the biggest tools for transformation. And especially prayer in the spirit, when you begin to pray in the spirit, where your mind is now being educated of the knowledge of the spirit. You need to get to a point where you can fast for 40 days without a prayer list. No prayer items. No prayer. You just wake up and you say, God, I love you. Three hours, 4 hours, the next day, God, I love you. You know I love you. By the time you're day three, the understanding you have. And I tell you something. What's that thing? Wisdom is for your spirit. Understanding is for your mind. Wisdom is for your spirit. Understanding is for your mind. Wisdom always comes first. Right now, you are a caretaker of all the wisdom in this world. The wisdom that was there even before the foundations of the world. You are a caretaker of that wisdom. What is missing is understanding. And that understanding is what is brought about through prayer. When you begin to travail, when you begin to pray, now wisdom begins to come up. It regurgitates. The best picture that is not bad, I had another picture to explain to you, but your hands are not ready for that example. The best picture to explain the workings of wisdom and understanding is when a cow chews cud. The other one is not pretty enough. When a cow chews what? So mom inakula the whole day, inakula, 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 inakula. That's what we are doing now. We are tunakula, 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 and then when we retire, we just sit down. And then we bring it back up. And we start. Product here, you need digestion. See, end product. The product is digestion. And what comes out of digestion is the nutrients that is in what? Is in the grass that the cow has been eating the entire day. And then the cow begins to grow. If you listen to someone and never go back to regurgitate and begin to chew, then there is no produce. There's no produce. You are a constipated believer. You're spiritually constipated. You are constipated because you are just eating. Unakula, 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 umefura, 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 but hakuna kitu, kura kabisa. Because you don't spend time, to go and sit down and begin to bring it back. Bring it back. And when you learn to do it intentionally, sometimes you just sit down. And without even knowing it, it comes to you. It just comes to you and you're like, wow, now I understand what this scripture means. Now I understand what it means. Now I understand what they were saying. A cat meows. That's what they say. A cat meows, and when you hear the cat meowing, it just brings back. It hits up and you're like, wow, I understand what God is saying. Understand what God is saying. Unatembea hivi unasikia msemo mfungo wa tap kwa maji na mka pa and begin to hear God. Why? Because you have intentionally, you have had the practice to intentionally chew on the word of God. And now even when you are relaxed, minding your business, the business of God, the business of transfiguration and transformation does not want to leave you behind. It's up to us that every time we walk and anywhere we walk, what we see is just because of the time we have spent to train, to inculcate ourselves, our minds, that whatever you're supposed to be thinking about is the one. Whatever you're supposed to be thinking about is the goodness of God. So you have trained yourself fully that it happens even without you purposing it going to happen. So you just sit down and your mind straight goes away to the word of God. Your mind straight away goes out to what God intends to do. Your mind, and you begin to remember certain things. You begin to remember things in the past, things that you are 2 years, 1 year old. You are 1 year old child, and something was happening in your house. And because you've done it intentionally, you begin to remember it. So now you can pray for your mom, because you understand what happened to her 25 years ago when you were 6 months old. And her life is changed because you know the root cause of the problem. Now you can pray for your dad because you understand what happened to him when you were 3 months in the womb of your mother. That's that. You cannot pray to be transfigured, you cannot be prayed on to be transfigured, you cannot give to be transfigured. You have to sit down and spend time teaching your mind what it should meditate on. Teaching your mind what it should focus on. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And pray for your offering. Father, I thank you for the giving of your